Good morning, my friends, and welcome to the Heritage Hour. I'm Mark Gonzalez, your pastoral encourager for Southwest Florida, and I'm so delighted to be with you on this Saturday morning, as we've been doing for 30 years here in this neck of the woods with my good friends over at Kingdom 91.5 FM on Saturday mornings, but now also Sunday mornings at I think 7:30 is what they've added, a new broadcast time. And then also with our friends at WAEC Love 860, serving the greater Atlanta area on air and online at iHeartRadio and TuneIn Radio. And then we have our friends up at WTMR 800 AM, serving New Jersey and Philadelphia. And what a joy it is just to partner together so that we can come, sit at the feet of the Lord, and let Him speak to us heart to heart. So if you were with us last time, you know that we started a kind of a mini series within the series. I love doing portraits of God. Every passage I go through, I see a portrait of God. We are looking at how He is our creative provider. 15 ways, and we covered 5 last time. We'll cover 5 today and do the next 5 next week. So if you have your Bibles, we're going to be going all over the place as we discover how the Lord is indeed our creative provider. And as we get started, just a reminder that these messages are archived on my website at markpg.org. Also has some videos there, 3-minute videos, portraits of God as well. Also some articles and devotional articles and things that I believe you'll enjoy. So take a note of that, markpg.org, and tell your friends about it. But now, let's just go before the Lord, as is our custom, because I just love to listen for His whispers as we walk through His Word together. Oh, let's go before the Lord. Well, Father, I am very grateful for the privilege You've given me all these years just to do the best I can, just to search the Scriptures and try to hear Your voice as You unpack the tremendous truths that You have in there for us, heart to heart. So as we walk through these various passages, I believe we indeed will be seeing You as our creative provider. So open our eyes, Lord. May we see. Open our ears, Lord. May we hear. Open our hearts, Lord. Oh, may we receive. And we pray this in the powerful name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and by His precious cleansing and healing, transforming, empowering, and forgiving blood. Amen, amen, and amen. All right, my friends, so we're looking at 15 ways in which the Scripture tells us the Lord is our creative provider. The first 5, they sound kind of straight up because we've kind of heard them before in other contexts, but I know that seeing it in a biblical context, not just the first 5, but all 15, helps us embed them more deeply as how important they are and what to listen for and watch for as we may have needs in our life and how the Lord, our creative provider, will provide for us. So just a quick, like, 2-minute overview of the first 5, just to kind of put it in context. And for those of you that are note takers, you can jot these down. The first 5, which we covered last time about the Lord, our creative provider, is that He provides for us, number 1, through working. Genesis 2:15 talks about how the Lord told Adam and Eve, had them cultivate and keep Eden. So working was from the beginning. And then 2 Thessalonians 3 says, if a man does not work or will not work, actually is what it says, if he will not, he refuses to work, well, let him not eat. In other words, you need to work if you're able. Now, if you're not able, that's another story, and God has provision in that way. But that's the first way, through working. Number 2, through savings. Proverbs 6:6-11 tells us about the wise little ant who gathers provision in the harvest and without a ruler or everybody telling him to do it so that they'll have food later in the winter. As sluggards don't do that. It's a great picture there. Number 3, the Lord, our creative provider, provides for us through investments. In Matthew 25, verses 14 and following, give us the parable of the 5 talents, how a master gave 5 talents to one. That's a currency, by the way, and 3 to another, 2 to another, 1 to another. All but the guy who got 1 invested it. He traded with them, and he gained more, and he was praised by the master, but the one who received one talent buried it because he was afraid that he might lose it. And boy, he got rebuked for not investing that which the master had given him. So the Lord, our creative provider, provides for us through working, through savings, through investments. Number four, through inheritance. And we look at Luke 15, the two prodigal sons there who had inheritances from their father. One squandered it right off the bat. The other squandered his heart. That's a whole other story. Bitter brother there. But sometimes the Lord provides through inheritance. And number five, he provides through insurance. Through insurance. And Genesis 41 gives us the first insurance program as Joseph was appointed second only to Pharaoh in Egypt. He had a vision that there would be famine in the land. And so for 7 years, they gathered and stored grain in Egypt and insurance so that when the famine did come, there would be plenty. So now we come to number six as we continue our journey. And the Lord, our creative provider, provides for us through donors. Through donors. Yep, let's go over to Exodus chapter 25, verses 1 through 2. And actually, we're going to be looking at chapter 31 and 35 and 36 to see this amazing story of how the Lord provides through donors. Now, this was how they, that is, the people of God, were responding to the Lord and donating not just their gifts like gold and stuff, but their skills in the building of the tabernacle. So let's pick it up in Exodus chapter 25, verses 1 through 2. The Bible says this, "Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, tell the sons of Israel to raise a contribution for me from every man," and I love this phrase, "whose heart moves him. You shall raise my contribution." Hey, donors should be motivated from the heart. You don't want to guilt trip people into giving. You don't want to force people into giving. You know, God doesn't do that with us. In fact, you're going to see that phrase over and over again as we walk through different chapters in Exodus as this story unfolds. But I love how the Lord is saying to tell the sons of Israel to raise a contribution for me, for the Lord. For when we give from the heart as unto the Lord, not to a building or a project. That's kind of what it's going to be used for, but it's given as unto the Lord, not just because it's a project that I like. Oh, I love that. Now that's in chapter 25. Pick up more of the story in verse 31, chapter 31. Chapter 31, verses 1 through 6. Now the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "See, I have called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. I have filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom and understanding and knowledge and in all kinds of craftsmanship to make artistic designs for work in gold, in silver, and in bronze, and in cutting of stones for settings and in carving of wood, that he may work in all kinds of craftsmanship." Now that's a section of the story throughout that chapter where individuals are named as being filled with the Spirit and given particular kinds of crafts and abilities and artistic abilities to contribute, to donate toward, in this case, the project of the tabernacle. So we're not only to be gracious and generous donors with money, but also in our gifts and our abilities and our talents. Now let's go to chapter 35, verse 21. "Everyone whose heart stirred him, everyone whose spirit moved him, came and brought the Lord's contribution for the work of the tent of meeting and for all its service and for the holy garments. And then all whose hearts moved them, both men and women, came and brought brooches and earrings and signet rings and bracelets, all articles of gold. So did every man who presented an offering of gold to the Lord." Do you see how the phrase is recurring? Everyone whose heart stirred him, whose heart moved him. That is so important. The Lord wants us to give from the heart. And when we're encouraging people to be donors, to contribute, to be generous, we need to inspire them again, not guilt trip them. And when we do, God honors that. Let's go to chapter 36, verses 5 through 7. "For this happened, the people are bringing much more than enough for the construction work which the Lord commanded us to perform. And so Moses issued a command, and a proclamation was circulated throughout the camp saying, let no man or woman any longer perform work for the contributions of the sanctuary. Thus the people were restrained from bringing any more, for the material they had was sufficient and more than enough for all the work to perform it. My friends, I have to tell you, I've seen God do this over and over throughout the years of my ministry. The Lord taught me early on to never guilt trip people, never buttonhole them about giving. I just would point up to the Lord. I'd just say, you know what, when we're giving today, this is as unto the Lord. This is not to impress anybody. It's not to do a duty. It's just to say thank you to the Lord. We don't have to give. We get to give. And if we had a building project or something, you know, we had the same approach. And God always provided, except for one time. And in my 40 years of ministry, there was this one time that I had some staff and influence that really wanted to do a traditional fundraising drive and have the banquets and sit in people's living rooms and challenge them to give. Now, let me be quick to say, I'm not saying that is sinful or bad. There is room to give people and churches elbow room to do fundraising banquets and to do those kinds of direct appeals and stuff and things, and if done in the right way in the Spirit. So I'm not saying categorically that that's bad. But what I am saying is that in our case, the Lord had given me a conviction on my heart from the very beginning. And 12 years later, I violated that. He had made it clear to just use prayer and encouragement and stories to motivate people and not do campaigns and not pay a company to come in, you know, tens or hundreds or thousands of dollars to raise your millions or whatever. You know, don't do that, he had told me, but I violated that. I forgot that. I lost sight of that. And because that was a personal conviction that I violated, the Lord didn't honor that. Now, again, let me just say that the church down the street may do the very thing that God was rebuking me for. But in their case, God may have said, I want you to do it. Some things are personal convictions. Some things are universal principles. Well, the universal principle here is God does use donors, but there are different ways to motivate them and to encourage them. And I'm just saying, be very careful to not overdo it. Take matters in your own hand. Use the world's schemes to try to get money out of people. Do it in a way that honors the Lord and honors the people that you would have and hope and pray would be donors. Because God, our creative provider, does use donors from every man whose heart moves him. Oh, I just love that. Well, similarly, we come to number 7, but it's unique because it's over in Nehemiah chapter 2. Nehemiah was the man of God who caught a vision to go back home to the land of his forefathers, to Jerusalem, to rebuild the wall around Jerusalem because it had been broken down after the years of invasion and all and the exile and all. But he was going to take a team and go back. And he makes an appeal to King Artaxerxes because he served in the court of Artaxerxes. And the Bible gives us this fascinating story about how King Artaxerxes became a sponsor of Nehemiah's work, which gives us this takeaway, how the Lord, our creative provider, not only provides through working, through savings, through investments, through inheritance, through insurance, and through donors, but through sponsorship, through sponsorship. Listen to this. Nehemiah chapter 2, picking it up in verse 7. And I said to the king, if it please the king, let letters be given me for the governors of the provinces beyond the river, that they may allow me to pass through until I come to Judah. And a letter to Asaph, the keeper of the king's forest, that he may give me timber to make beams for the gates of the fortress, which is by the temple, and for the wall of the city, and for the house to which I will go. And the king granted them to me because the good hand of my God was on me. And then I came to the governors of the provinces beyond the river and gave them the king's letter. Now the king had also sent with me officers of the army and horsemen.
Wow.
I am just so blown away by this, how God put it on the heart of a pagan king to become a leading sponsor of the work of Nehemiah to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem, giving him letters of authority, letters of transit, also letters of approval, and officers and the army and horsemen. I mean, he rallied around God's man. My friend, don't be surprised if the Lord, our creative provider, raises up people to sponsor you, to help you through. You know, we're getting over Hurricane Ian here, and I have the joy of getting many calls from different organizations around and foundations. And just the other day, I had three more people wanting to help, wanting to sponsor churches to be recovered. What a joy to see that, how God provides through sponsorship. Well, number eight, he also provides through generosity, through generosity. Malachi 3, verses 8 through 12 puts it this way. Will a man rob God? Yet you were robbing me, but you say, how have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you are robbing me, the whole nation of you. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, so that there may be food in my house. And test me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you a blessing until it overflows, and I will rebuke the devourer for you so that it will not destroy the fruits of the ground, nor will your vine in the field cast its grapes, says the Lord of hosts. All the nations will call you blessed, for you shall be a delightful land, says the Lord of hosts. This is a classic passage that you may have been taught or heard messages about this, about the importance of tithing, but it's more than that. It's tithes and offerings. Now, tithing is kind of like your God bill. It says, all right, here's the basic, you know, here's your 10%, and that just honors me. But beyond that, beyond the tithes are your offerings. Be generous. Listen, God is saying here, when you give your tithes and beyond that offerings that I put on your heart, again, give from the heart, the more generous you are, the more I will rebuke the devourer, that is things that tend to eat up your funds, you know, repairs and stuff like that. Not all of them, many of them. I will open up the heavens for you because I can trust you with funds because I see how freely you give. If you're a tightwad, keep it for yourself. I'll kind of turn off the spigot because you're not being a good steward. But if you're generous and you give your tithes because you want to, not because you have to, and offerings beyond that, not because you have to, but because you want to, I will honor that. I will provide for you more abundantly when you are generous. Oh, my friend, the Lord is our creative provider. He provides for us through working, through savings, through investments, through inheritance, through insurance, through donors, through sponsorship, through generosity. And number nine, I love this one, through thriftiness, through thriftiness. Are you thrifty? Are you wise with the way that you use the funds that God brings into your hands? Or do you spend it carelessly, frivolously, unwisely? Does money burn a hole in your pocket so you just get it out there, go buy whatever you can? No. He wants us to be thrifty. And I was thinking about how this is so clearly pictured in a classic portion of scripture in Proverbs 31 in a description of an excellent wife, the Proverbs 31 woman. Let me pick up excerpts of that and show how one of the chief attributes of this incredible woman, this excellent wife, is how thrifty she was with God's provision, with the food and with the opportunities to purchase and with the money that they did have. Listen to this. Proverbs 31, beginning in verse 10. An excellent wife who can find, for her worth is far above jewels. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. Verse 15, she rises also while it is still night and gives food to her household and portions to her maidens. You see how generous she is with God's provision? I love that. Verse 16, she considers a field and buys it. Whoa, she's into real estate. She knows what it is to invest in real estate, to use God's money wisely. She knew about number three here on our list, about how God gives through investments and all, and wise purchases. So she considers a field and buys it. From her earnings, she plants a vineyard. Verse 26, she opens her mouth in wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. She looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and bless her. Her husband also, he praises her. Now, these are wonderful excerpts from that incredible passage of this woman who had all of these character qualities, where from the heart she was thrifty and wise and generous and industrious in all that she did. My friend, God provides through thriftiness. Sometimes, I'll put it this way to really help us get it nailed down. If you have a need for something that you don't have money for right now, it could be God had pre-provided that money, but you misspent it on something else. You spent it on something you really didn't need, and it cost you when you came up to something that you did need. Yeah, I like the guy who said, we tend to buy things with money we don't have for things we don't need to impress people we don't like. I love that. But anyway, be thrifty, be careful. Now I'm saying being a penny pincher. Spend where you need to spend. But you don't have to spend right and left. You don't have to buy the most expensive items, you know, usually the mid-range or the best, you know. Be thrifty, like the Proverbs 31 woman. And then number 10, we're seeing how the Lord, our creative provider, provides for us in so many ways. And here in number 10, we have a marvelous picture back to the book of Nehemiah, how the Lord, our creative provider, provides through cooperation. Through cooperation. We're going to look at these wall builders now. Earlier, when we were talking about sponsorship, we saw the front end of this project, how Nehemiah made an appeal to the king and had such a passion and a genuineness and a humility about it, the king wanted to sponsor him. Nehemiah wasn't manipulating him or begging him or anything like that. He was just being a godly man who was sharing his heart and casting the vision, and the king sponsored the front end of the trip back to Jerusalem. Now we're in Jerusalem, and he has just inspected the walls and seen how terrible they are. The children, the entourage that were with him, that came back to Jerusalem with him, it was time now to try to rally the troops, you know, and the workforce to build this wall up. It's going to be tough work. So the scripture tells us in Nehemiah chapter 2, beginning up in verse 17, after he had inspected the walls there in Jerusalem, Nehemiah says to them, "You see the bad situation we are in, that Jerusalem is desolate and its gates burned by fire? Ah, come, let us rebuild the wall of Jerusalem so that we will no longer be a reproach." I told them, he goes on to say, "how the hand of my God had been favorable to me, and also about the king's words which he had spoken to me." And then they said, "Well, let us arise and build." And so they put their hands to the good work. Let me stop there a moment. I got to highlight this. He knows how to cast the vision. He said, let me tell you what God has already done. Here's what he's put on my heart. Here's how the king responded to that. Here's what God has already done to get us to this point. Now it's time to build it. Who's in? And it so inspired them that they said, let's arise and build. And they put their hands to the good work. Then you fast forward to chapter 6, verse 15, which sums up several chapters of the intense struggle they had in building it up. And they had people criticizing them and jeering at them, and even people who wanted to hurt them, you know. So they had to trowel in one hand and a sword in the other hand to kind of protect themselves. It was tough going. I mean, they had a lot of criticism and setbacks, but they pressed on. And the scripture tells us here in chapter 6, verse 15, so the wall was completed on the 25th day of the month of Elul in 52 days. That's pretty good. That's less than 2 months. When all our enemies heard of it, and all the nations surrounding us saw it, they lost their confidence, for they recognized that this work had been accomplished with the help of our God. God uses cooperation in order to provide when people are in need. I had the biggest example of that, and you saw it too, through all the disaster relief sites. We had many of our Southern Baptist churches. We have 107 in this area. And that's our association of here at Royal Palm. And at our five largest campuses, we had our Florida Baptist Convention, organized bringing in other Southern Baptist Convention, other state conventions from Texas and North Carolina. They all come in. And by the way, that's a network we have that goes to all kinds of places to cooperate, to help people mud out their homes, to clear away trees, to bring in some food and supplies and water. We cook for the Red Cross. The Red Cross delivers, but we do all the cooking for them. What a joy to cooperate and help people in need. Oh, my friends, we've been seeing that, and we're still seeing that as we're recovering from Hurricane Ian and floods and fires and tornadoes that damage other areas. But we have people that love to cooperate because God, our creative provider, encourages. Lord, thank you for the privilege of cooperating to do your work. Oh, in Jesus' name, amen. Well, I'm Mark Gonzalez. Oh, keep falling in love with the Lord, your creative provider.